you know, we live, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle, and Jesus told us to go into all the world and share the good news with every creature, everyone that God has created, talking about humans. And he also told us to go and make disciples. And we know that when we do that, there is spiritual opposition, that we are in a spiritual battle. And one aspect of that battle is there is an information battle. There is a battle about what is the truth. And the Bible, God gave to us, he inspired about 40 different men over a period of 1,500 years to write the Bible. The Bible tells us how God created the universe. And he's the only one who was there at the time, so that's the only way we can find out. However, there are many other theories and opinions about how this universe came into being, but there's only one of them that's true. As Christians, we believe the Bible is true, and we're going to look at the evidence for that, because you don't need to watch TV much or even listen to some of the things that are taught in schools to realise that there is alternative things that contradict what the Bible says. So, here's a wonderful verse in Romans chapter 1. Ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And I managed to find some really great pictures online, free pictures for this presentation. But I love the countryside. I love being out. I went to Switzerland a couple of times up in the Alps. Absolutely mind-blowing beauty. Even here in good old Coventry, you can look up at the sky and you can see some amazing sights, can't you? You know, Karen and I moved a couple of years ago down, lived near the canal. And I remember last year, I think it was February time, I was walking on the canal. It was just this most spectacular sunset. I didn't have time to find the photo for this presentation, but it was absolutely breathtaking sky with this electric pylon outline silhouetted against it, and then the sky reflected in the canal. And just when you see the beauty of God's creation, you don't have to be that intelligent to figure out someone amazing created all this and made it so beautiful. Here's another verse from Job chapter 12. Just ask the animals and they will teach you. Ask the birds of the sky and they will tell you. Speak to the earth and it will instruct you. Let the fish in the sea speak to you. For they all know that this has come from the hand of the Lord. For the life of every living thing is in his hand, and the breath of every human being. And again, you know, just the amazing beauty of birds, different animals, the fish. I've never seen a swordfish. I was walking on the canal last year, and there was a guy fishing just opposite the Greyhound pub. And Bill Pace is enjoying that. That's a lovely horse, isn't it? And this guy suddenly got a catch on his line, and I think he had his sons with him. And there were a couple of us from our family on the other side of the bank. We were watching, and he had to run to his van, get a big net out. I think his teenage son was holding on to this thing, and he managed to get back and get it. And it was a 16-pound carp. It was a huge thing. It was a carp or a perch. I can't remember. He didn't tell me at the time, but it was huge. And you know, just swimming around in the canal there opposite the Greyhound.
Probably lived in the
But just the beauty and variety of... That's definitely a horsey. It's a beautiful horsey. And, you know, and at the end of this talk, I've got a little booklet. So if you're at school, I've got a little booklet called The Evidence for God's Creation. And it's got a whole chapter about the amazing design of the horse and just how it's perfectly designed for transporting humans and heavy loads. Okay, so if you look at the alternative to an intelligent supernatural being outside of time creating space, physical things, energy, the probability or chance that it just came into existence by accident and then evolved step by step from basic things into complicated things over billions of years, the chance of that happening is immeasurably small. And there's a great, maybe I'll post on the WhatsApp group, there's a YouTube video of Professor John Lennox, who's the professor of mathematics at Oxford University, he's retired now, and he actually has calculated the chances of these things happening. I didn't have time to put the figures in this talk, but I'll share the video and you can hear him talking about it. And he says sometimes when he was still teaching mathematics at Oxford University, if people were a bit bored in the staff tea room, he would just throw out a question. He says, you know, if you were to go down to the beach and you were to see your name written in the sand on the beach, what would be the possibility of that just being an accident, that the tide had washed in and just carried a rock or something and it had written John Blackburn in the sand. And then he compares that to the chance of the DNA human code being correctly sequenced for all the things each cell has to do. And he just asks his colleagues, what's the probability of that happening? Usually start a lively conversation. So if you think about the precise movement of the planets, the regular seasons of the year, the reliance of all living beings upon each other, and the awesome detail of life, if you go down to the human cell, it's just so amazingly complicated and designed. Did these things all come about by chance, or is there a more reasonable explanation? Because what we find is the Christian faith is rational, it's logical, and it's true. That's why I believe it. That's why I fully believe in what God reveals through Jesus Christ and through the Bible. So wherever we look around us in creation, we see evidence of a perfect, detailed and complicated design. Much of what we see in the world around us has to be complete at once in order to work at all. In a minute, we're going to look at the human eye and the human ear. And the human eye, I work in the eye department at the hospital, and some of the most complicated machines in the hospital are developed by the best scientists in the world, cutting-edge science, in order to measure and diagnose what's going on in the human eye, because it is so complicated and it's so amazingly and perfectly designed. So when things start to go slightly wrong with it, you need these amazing machines to kind of figure out what's going on in there. And what you find is it couldn't have evolved bit by bit. So we'll look at that in a bit more detail. So if you actually use your brain, if you actually use the mind that God gave us to think about it, you will question whether such complicated design actually points to a wise and powerful creator rather than random physical coincidences. So let's just look at some details now. So let's look at the universe. So does anyone know what that is up there? The moon, correct. Anyone know what that is down there?
The sun.
Okay, so let's just look at how God designed the sun and the moon for a bit. So the sun is a star whose surface temperature and distance are precisely right to provide heat and light on Earth. Who's looking forward to a bit more sunny weather?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. We've had too much rain this year, haven't we? So, at the centre of the sun, right in the middle of that ball of gas, it's 15 million degrees centigrade. A bit too hot for us. And the sun is 110 times its diameter, that's the distance from one edge to the other. It's 110 times bigger than the Earth. And God designed it that way, so the temperature at the surface is only 5,527 degrees centigrade. That's quite a lot cooler. But because that's the temperature over there, that means that when the sun comes out soon, we can walk around in our t-shirt and shorts, we can that lovely warm weather. And God's designed it exactly right for heating and lighting the earth. Now, if we were a bit closer to the sun, the oceans would all evaporate. The earth would be a desert. If we were a little bit further away from the sun, the oceans would freeze. And we wouldn't be here. So God's put it just right so that you can get a suntan if you want, or you can go on a plane and get as much sun as you want in Nigeria, and lovely sunshine over there. for. We met this guy from Peru yesterday. He says, we don't talk about the weather in Peru because it's just lovely all the time. And it rains 5 days a year. So, you know, I said, I like your coat. He says, this is the only coat that he had, an England rugby raincoat on yesterday for obvious reasons. Mm. He said, this is the only coat I own. I don't need one in Peru. So that's the sun. If we think about the moon is exactly positioned to give just the right amount of tide movement in the oceans. I love bodyboarding on the surf. And, you know, the waves are just the right size that you can ride on. And you can choose how big you want to go out into the deep. Now, this is interesting. The moon is 400 times smaller than the sun. If you look at this picture, they look about the same size. And the reason for that is the sun is 400 times further away from the Earth. And so that means, God designed that. So when the sun goes in front of the moon, the moon goes in front of the sun, you know, where they're rotating, the moon's rotating around the Earth is rotating around the sun. So every now and then they line up exactly and you get a
total eclipse.
In fact, there was one in America, wasn't there, not long ago. The next one here is going to be on the 23rd of September 2019. So I'm not going to see that in this old body anyway. But I'll get a new body. So, here we go.
I heard rumours there might be solar eclipse in UK 2025.
Okay, well, you can. The amazing thing about the way God's designed the sun and the moon is they can calculate it all so exactly. They can even work out what time it will start and finish in like 70 years' time or 100 years' time. Because someone has designed it. I've got a watch here, it's mechanical and digital. That's a clever mechanism. God has designed all the planets and the galaxies to move so precisely. So let's think about the stars. You can see a few of them there. It's estimated, so far, scientists reckon there are 20 billion billion. So I think a billion's nine zeros, isn't it? So that would be 18, so a 20 with 18 zeros after it. That's how many stars they think there are out there. That's a lot, amen? If you go outside, you probably need to go away from Coventry where all the street lights are on, go somewhere really dark, and, you know, if you've got good eyesight, you could see about 5,000 stars just with your eye. And why did God create so many stars? Well, it's impressing me with his power and his ability and how big and powerful he is. They're also completely reliable for navigation. You know, we use SatNav. I use Google Maps a lot to get from A to B. Before electricity, before computers, before SatNav, what did people use to navigate around the planet? The stars. There's a book I read called SAS Rogue Heroes. I think they made a TV series. And it was about, during the Second World War, There were some fairly crazy, eccentric guys in the British Army who would just go out into the desert and they'd attack the Germans from the desert, the long-range patrol. And some of these guys, they could go for like hundreds of miles all around the Sahara and know exactly where to get. They'd get back from the coast to some way, little oasis in the middle of the Sahara, just looking at the stars. People have been doing that for hundreds of years. So that's the sun and moon. Let's think about you. So this is a little picture from science of what's going on in your brain right now. So whose brain is active right now? Wave at me. That's right. Stay focused. So it's amazing how God has created our brain. A healthy human brain has 100 billion nerve cells, approximately. Okay. And each one of those 100 billion cells has thousands of connections. And that means there are hundreds of trillions of connections in your brain. And these connections are like computer chips. They store your memory, they pass information to each other, and they solve problems. I love doing crosswords, I love doing code words, I love doing all that kind of stuff. And my little brain cells are chugging away. So who likes maths and solving maths problems? Yeah, some of us do. And, you know, those brain cells are figuring it all out. And this is interesting. Do you know your brain is much more complicated than any computer humans will ever create? Thomas has got an amazing new gaming PC. It's way better than my little laptop. It's very fast graphics processor. It's got amazing amounts of memory. But let's compare even a great, I know some of you have got even better gaming computers. But if we compare one of those to the human brain, scientists have discovered that one brain, so put your hand on your head, so underneath that bone, in your brain, you have more switches inside there than all the computers in the world put together. Now, I studied electronics at university, transistor, so I had to learn how a transistor works, and then I learned microchip have millions and millions of miniature little transistors, and they're basically switches. So a computer basically is a load of ones and zeros, isn't it? You know, and I think probably my smartphone now has more processing power than a big computer when I was born. It was probably filled a room this size. So there's more switches in my little computer, in my smartphone, than probably in that computer when I was born. But my brain has more switches than all the microprocessors and all the chips and all the smartphones and all the computers in the world. Say, thank you, Lord. So what you can see is that humans are unique because the human brain is way different to animal brains. And you know, even a young child like Paisley can do some reasoning and decision-making things that are above the capability of animals. It's amazing. You know, I remember when Rachel was little, we used to have this thing where she put different shapes through holes in a toy box. And, you know, she could do that. It didn't take her that long to figure out how to do that. That's the human brain. Now let's look at the eye. So that's the see-through bit of your eye. And this iris bit tells you what colour your eyes are. I have kind of hazily brown and green eyes. Who's got blue eyes? Yeah, they're a bit rarer. But this eye is amazing. So light comes in through this see-through bit, it's like the window. The iris is like the shutter on your camera. It controls how much light comes through. This is the lens. That's a see-through, squashy bit of see-through material that's controlled by muscles in the side that pulls it to exactly the right shape so you can focus things far away, things close. Then you've got a load of jelly in the middle. I've seen an operation in the hospital where they suck that out and put it. We'll go into that anyway. And then at the back here is your retina. And the retina is amazing. It's got all these cells that detect red, blue, green. You've got different cells for detecting at night, rods. And then you've got nerves here that go to the back part of your brain where it processes all that information. And this is way better than any camera humans have developed. You know, it's amazing. And the amazing thing about it is, if you think about evolution, why would a random genetic mutation make the front part of your eye see-through if the back part wasn't doing anything with the light that came in? You know, why would these muscles evolve some kind of strange adjustable lens here, again, if the front part wasn't see-through? And the back part, why would the back part evolve through random mutations, kind of light receptors that get processed in the back of your brain, if this part wasn't see-through, or the lens wasn't the right shape, or it wasn't focusing light onto that? There's no way you can logically think that this would come into being by accident, chance, or random mutation. It had to be designed as a whole system, otherwise it's useless. It's just a blob of meat in your head. You know, like some people have lumps on their head, if you bump your head, that's about as much use as your eyeball would be if it wasn't completely designed as a working system. If you look at the ear, so I think the smallest bone in your body is in your ear. It's amazingly sensitive. So it's like a little hammer beating on a drum. You have your eardrum. And then it's converted into electrical pulses. And it's amazing. I mean, the doctors who work at the hospital in the audiology department, they have to study like 10 years just to figure out how this little thing works. And then if things go wrong, how to put it right. Again, it's designed. None of this would, you know, evolution, there's no way that could evolve by chance. Because, you know, it's all got to work together, else it's just a lump of meat on the side of your head. And sadly, some people's ears don't work. And there's a scripture that says, God says, I designed the eye to see, I designed the ear to hear. So So, we've looked at the wonder of creation, but this world's a mess. It's not just a beautiful world. Why? We learn, the Bible tells us, that we went from paradise to pain. And this beautiful, wonderfully designed earth was spoiled by a tragic event. The first man and woman, there's an artist's impression of the serpent, Satan in the form of a serpent, deceiving them and tricking them into doing what God said not to do as a test of their love for him. They rebelled against this powerful, loving creator. And in Romans, we learn that when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. And that death means separation from God, from his spirit, from his presence, from his amazing blessings. So death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. It was like a disease that has infected every human being. After Adam and Eve lost their purity and closeness to God, both humans and animals began to fight and kill each other. The first murder in the Bible was two brothers. One got jealous and envious of the other and killed him. Cain killed Abel. And the animals began to fight and kill each other. And that's why we have to keep our rabbits protected behind mesh wire, because sadly there's other animals that would make a very tasty lunch for a fox. And people's hearts are filled with greed, lust, cruelty. We experience it every day. You see it on the news all the time, and we experience it even in our everyday lives. And disease and suffering spread to the whole world. God never designed us to get sick or die. That's part of the fall. So the question arises, and when we're sharing this good news with people who are not yet Christians, they usually want to know, if the God is a God of love, why does he allow all the suffering that's going on in the world? Well, there's a couple of answers to that. Number one is, God made it perfect in the beginning, and he's going to fix it and make it perfect again in the end. So 2 Peter 3 says, we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth God has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. In other words, it's going to be perfect again. Secondly, God hasn't just sat back on his throne and said, right, you guys, you've messed up my beautiful creation. You're on your own. It's your own fault. Tough. God was not like that. What he said, there's a picture here, a famous painting by Salvador Dali of Jesus hanging on the cross over the whole world. And in Romans it says, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So in other words, God has shared our pain. God knows what it feels like, the suffering that we feel, the grief that we feel, the pain that we experience in life. Jesus has experienced even more than we have ever experienced. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Paul is talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Amen. So there's just a little snippet of evidence for creation. And